This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm with Darren Riley of Mission Critical Partners. Darren, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Pleasure to be back with you, Donnie.
Well, it's always great to talk to you, and especially, I hear you guys have been celebrating here recently.
Yes, we're thrilled. On February 2nd, we celebrated our 15-year anniversary, so... It was a great accomplishment and great celebration for all our current team members, as well as people that have been with us over that period of time. And it was just a thrilling day and a great celebration. And we're going to continue the celebration throughout this year, even as we progress forward in the years to come.
I have to ask, was the doing it on Groundhog Day, was that something that they did on purpose when it all started?
Well, it's interesting you say that. When it was founded, which was 2009, the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl the day before, right? And the firm is actually headquartered out of State College, Pennsylvania, so there's a lot of people that are from in and around, clearly Pennsylvania, but Pittsburgh as well. So there's a big celebration. They're like, oh, we're founding a firm tomorrow, back in 2009. And there were a lot of things were going on in that period of time, Donnie. I don't know if you recall, but Barack Obama was just sworn into office in January of 2009. The economy wasn't doing that well, the global economy, especially in the U.S., right? And a lot of things were changed from an economic standpoint. Lehman Brothers cratered, if you recall, in September of 2008. And... tax relief bill, they were, how were they going to make the banks and investment banks and regional banks, commercial banks survive? So there's a lot of moving parts, but our three founders, Kevin Murray, Len Kowalski, and Brian Bark, thought it would be a great time to start a company.
Yeah.
So we're glad they did.
Well, your trip down memory lane reminds me that in the public safety industry, what turned out to be the predecessor of FirstNet, there was the group that was led by Harlan McEwen and Morgan O'Brien and Kevin McGinnis. Frankly, that model wasn't working, and people were already starting to look at, because the auction had closed the year before, and and they were looking for an alternative, and that turned into a pretty long drawn out thing. But it's been interesting. It's always interesting to see where things start.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they just did the 15-year celebration of U.S. Airways. Scully, the pilot, right, landed on the Hudson in January of 2009. And so it was kind of interesting. A lot of moving parts that were going on as the company was starting. So
it's well, so
amazing how long it's been, but it seems like it was just yesterday.
Yes. Well, now, I believe you joined the firm about 6 years ago, but you've been in the industry for quite a while, right? And how have you seen it change during this 15-year period?
Oh, God, at Mission Critical Partners, it's changed pretty dramatically. You know, we started off, which is still to this day a huge part of our business, the consulting advisory side, where we're helping our clients, on the assessments and procurements and implementations of these mission critical solutions. And then over time, we ultimately evolved into building upon that success, what I call the success foundation of those success pillars, to offer additional services for our clients, and specifically data integration services, software development and support services, managed services in general. And so when we look at our managed services side, coupled with our consulting advisory, kind of the origins of the firm, it's really a package and a solution set and a portfolio of services that we offer our clients that was really driven by our clients. When we look at what got us into the managed services business, it was a select few clients that at that time when we started getting into that, and this is probably taking my mind back to around the 2015-16-ish time frame when we started in 2009, consulting advisory. So you tee up the engagement, you work through that engagement, be it a year or 2 years, whatever it is, it could be 6 months, right? And then, you successfully complete the engagement. We're proud that we've never failed on an engagement, which actually, It's a testament to a lot of the repeat client relationships that we have. But they were like, hey, you know, now that you've implemented the system, we really need your help to be able to maintain these highly complex systems. So can you help us with the services and on an ongoing basis? So it was really, you know, adhering to our clients. And to this day, that really working with our clients, leading with them, leading for them, is a key element of our success.
Yeah, well, and from a broader industry perspective, that brings up a really good point. It's just that even in as late as 2009, it still seemed like you still had a lot of analogs out there, a lot of analog systems. You had a lot of systems that, frankly, people were doing a lot of their own maintenance. And now, as more things move into the digital realm and get more complex, it seems like more and more a lot of these agencies and governments are looking for help, frankly, to take care and, as you said, maintain and evolve these systems. And it isn't something that, frankly, they have the always have the people in-house that can do it themselves.
Interesting. It's kind of a perfect storm in a way, depending how you define perfect. I'm always very incredibly sensitive with our clients and the challenges that they have. But here you have this digital transformation taking place in the industry. If you look at that 2009 time frame, to even during the last 15 years, you have this digital transformation where at the same time you have the shift in demographics. And what I mean by the demographics, the baby boomers. So you have a lot of the people that are starting to retire at faster clips, right? So now they have a labor pool that is more challenging to attract and retain those individuals just because of just the sure dynamics affiliated with it. While at the same time going from really a kind of a premise mentality from a legacy standpoint, now you have to modernize going into a more of a cloud native solution or a hybrid solution, which solved a number of things to be able to obviously modernize their systems, to say the least, and take advantage of computing, processing, data storage that they can leverage other assets. You know, the big cloud providers, just use an example, won't have to name any of them, but everyone knows who they are, which actually enabled to the client base to say, hey, you know, what do we truly need in-house? Not only labor, but actually computing and data storage on-prem. So it was this multiple things changing literally at the same time. So, you know, to be able to help them with that modernization arc, so to speak, during that period of time really has has enabled us to kind of, it's fueled our growth. And our growth is really just a dividend in helping our clients, right, at the end of the day. And, we're very pleased and honored to be able to augment very often the resources that they still have, clearly, right? But be able to help them achieve the missions that they have to accomplish every single day, which, you know, I believe kind of the way of the future and the way of today, quite candidly, is public-private partnership, you know, with firms like Mission Critical Partners. We believe, you know, it's our sole focus on mission critical type systems, both on justice as well as emergency communications. And we're very, very pleased and passionate about being able to help our clients with this modernization change that they're going through.
And how, in terms of the modernization, you mentioned, you know, so much of this stuff fueled on processing and computers and things. How has it changed? I mean, I'm sure security has always been a priority for you guys, being a mission-critical entity, but to see things like some of the cybersecurity challenges that your clients are facing and things like that, frankly, have mushroomed. And honestly, at the same time, they're being told, hey, we want everything to be interoperable, we want to connect to everything. And at the same time, people are saying, well, but we want you to be secure. And quite frankly, with some of the older systems, they were siloed in a way that you didn't necessarily have to have a whole lot of security built in, because it was almost inherently secure, because hardly anyone was in there, was accessing that part of the network anyway.
Oh, without a doubt, I've heard that. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, they're, you know, with a lot of the analog systems, you know, are concerned more so in the day, back in the day, was more on physical security versus logical security. But the reality of the systems, you know, when you have the ability to do that transformation, the cloud base, and just generally with the network fabric that's IP, yeah, there's a lot of really dynamic things that you can put into place for the betterment of, obviously, the security services that they offer. But it also does introduce a common ground for bad actors to act upon. So that's where, you know, everything has to have a wrapper relative to very good cyber hygiene relative to who has access, who is, you know, how's it being monitored, and to be able to make sure that there's some level of protection-related services, you know, way beyond what they thought before. You know, before, you know, a lot of people understood kind of, you know, what I called like the three Gs, you know, guards, gates, and guns, right? If we have enough guards, we have enough gates, and we have enough guns, that's how we're protecting our systems. And now it's really, you know, the people, the process, the technology, not to say in Duluth that they don't see the physical security as well. I don't want to miscommunicate in any way, shape, or form and all that. They still need that, but they really have to get beyond the three Gs to get into people, process, and technology. And that's where we spend a lot of our time with our clients. We actually do actually provide services on the physical side, but definitely on the logical side as well.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the 15 years, but what's next for Mission Critical Partners in your mind?
We're really thrilled about a number of growth engines that we're seeing in the marketplace as a whole. Continuing on, as we already talked about it, and you know, IT modernization. If you look at the NASIO that did a study in the fourth quarter, specifically it came out in the December timeframe on, you know, really an incredible focus on cybersecurity and digital services and modernization and cloud services, and then a CIO as a broker. If I kind of verbally double-click on CIO as a broker, we believe that we're, you know, going to have much more impact, you know, across the entire, you know, spectrum of services, both on emergency communications and judicial, to be able to help them with this transformation. And data really is going to be the crown jewel to be able to interpret what the data says. I kind of look at data as sort of, if you look at fuel, you know, and you look, crude oil is exactly that. It's just a blob and it's a mess, right? There's value to it. But the value to fuel, crude oil, is when you refine it. Once it's refined, essentially it's indexed down, it's right, that's where the value is. Is it for kerosene? Is it for an automobile? Whatever. Jet engines, et cetera. They all have to be refined differently. So I look at data kind of the same way. As the good news is multimedia data is coming into emergency communication centers at a faster rate. The bad news is multimedia data is coming into communication centers. So, you know, how do I absorb this? How do I refine it? How do I retain it? How do I protect it? So that adds the complexity. And I think when we look at, you know, our growth and the bigger impact that we're going to have beyond even the impacts that we're having right now, to be able to help our clients is help them through that transformation, right? How can I have a situational aware environment that actually enables me to have a better view set on what's taking place during times of need or any time, any mission that they're doing, without in any way, shape, or form slowing down response time. Because at the end of the day, we're all, you know, helping these solutions, you know, it's serving the citizens where we work, live, and play. And so you got to have that response time element of it. And that's so critical. And then on the judicial side, you'd be able to have to absorb all that data and how that goes down the whole judicial workflow. So, you know, where we see our growth is really tied to that, bringing disparate databases together, helping our clients to develop it, interface it, helping technology providers kind of take the friction out of the system. Like if they have to interface to a custom-based database or they have to interface to one of their quote-unquote competitors, how can we help our clients take that friction out of the system and interconnect these disparate databases? So a lot of really good opportunity as a result of staffing shortages that they have, complex systems that they have to maintain for years to come, integrating these systems as they go through this arc of modernization. So, again, I've been serving the market for 30 years. I think the opportunity and the growth to serve at a much higher level is more now than ever, literally ever. So I'm very, very thrilled about what we're doing here at Mission Critical Partners, and we're helping our clients through that arc of transformation.
Great points, Darren. And again, congratulations to you guys for 15 years. And I think it's going to be an exciting next 15 years, just given all the things that are on the table.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. And, we'll send you a badge or a challenge coin, right? We have some unique challenge coins. We'll make sure you get one of those.
All right. All right. Well, hey, Darren, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Donnie. We'll see you around.